Hello and welcome back to the Bunch of Nuts podcast. This is Dan. I'm here with my good friend and my partner, Big Cass, and we have a huge episode today. But first things first, Big Cass, we have kind of a war going on between the three game day shows. It's kind of a tricky situation right here, but it seems like the Ohio State fans will be going to Big Noon Kickoff.
Yeah, they should be. Come visit me. Because I got as that's going on, I will be part of the Big Noon Kickoff crew. So come visit me, say hi, and I'll try to say hi back before I get in trouble, possibly. But yeah, come to Big Noon Kickoff, folks. Leave the other one that's going to be at St. John's alone, and come to Big Noon Kickoff. That's all I have to say.
Are we not even going to refer to College Game Day this week? Are they going to be like the team up north of pregame shows? We're just not going to refer to them?
Yeah, and if you don't want to go to Big Noon Kickoff, go to BTN Tailgate.
I feel bad for BTN Tailgate because I don't think anyone's going to go to them because we ran a poll on our account, Cass. What pregame show Buckeye Nation was attending to? And I know Twitter isn't the real world. Because you know everyone's still salty with not salty with College Game Day. They're salty with obviously ESPN in general. So they're kind of boycotting College Game Day, which I think is hilarious. But we ran the poll. Big Noon Kickoff won 79% of the vote. College Game Day got 16% of the vote, and Big Ten Tailgate got 4% of the vote. So poor Big Ten Tailgate. I don't know why they're even coming to this, honestly. They should honestly just go somewhere else. They should probably go to Michigan, Indiana. That's probably the second best game this week. But I just think it's hilarious that college Big Noon Kickoff and – Big Ten Tailgate. Big Ten Tailgate basically is following in the coattails of Big Noon Kickoff and positions themselves right next to Big Noon Kickoff if you look on the map. So they're going to make their crowd look way bigger than it's going to be. And I think that's just hilarious.
Well, I mean, I get it. And everybody wants to be there. And I love where the map is. And you know, I got this map 2 days ago when I found out I was going to be working with Fox this weekend. So thank you all for the support, too, who've came out on either texting me or Facebook me. I appreciate it, everybody. But it's going to be a lot of fun. I have a chance to meet the Big Noon Kickoff crew, which includes two Heisman Trophy winners, a second-team All-American quarterback, a three-time national championship coach, and maybe another Heisman Trophy at Charles Woodson. I don't know if Charles Woodson is going to be there. I didn't see his name, but it's possible. But I doubt it.
And Rob Stone. the legendary Rob Stone.
He's a great guy.
He is.
I actually like him for Big Noon Kickoff. I mean, I think if Big Noon Kickoff adds another caliber person to their broadcast team, maybe like, you know, not maybe necessarily a bear, like a bear set, like, you know, but another person, it could, you know, possibly outbeat ESPN College Game Day. And I think it's headed that way. I really do. With, you know, you got three guys who are, you know, college football Hall of Famers as players, and then you got a Hall of Fame coach in Urban Meyer and no football. And I feel like they know football better than Desmond Howard and Kirk Herbstreit. And the thing with ESPN, the difference between ESPN and Fox, is you have guys who are actually, yeah, Desmond Howard won a Heisman Trophy with Michigan and blah blah blah, but you have more guys in that Fox room that have more relevancy towards the modern day college football than what ESPN has. ESPN is very old school type of play. They are all big on the eye test. That's where the eye test jokes come from, is College Game Day.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Obviously, too, I think when you look at the College Game Day cast, they're obviously characters, but I mean, I love Lee Corso, but he wasn't, you know, the most prestigious coach. Kirk Herbstreit wasn't a phenomenal college quarterback. Desmond Howard was a good college player, obviously won a Heisman, but he wasn't fantastic in the NFL. But then you have guys like you said, Reggie Bush, who, you know, won a Super Bowl and was, I know he might not have been worth the second overall pick, but he was an absolute stud in the NFL. You can't deny that. I mean, he was a solid player.
Yeah, he was a very solid player. But it is, it's going to be a lot of fun, and it's going to be, me personally, as an analytical guy and guy who likes analysts, I like Big Noon Kickoff better than ESPN College Game Day. But I think ESPN College Game Day is getting ready to head into that next generation without the Lee Corso. Adding Pat McAfee and David Pollack is going to be huge for them. And I think, in all honesty, I think Desmond Howard needs to go.
I don't think that. I mean, I like Desmond Howard. That's kind of radical for me to say, like, especially a few days before it's Michigan week. But I think he's decent. I really do. I don't mind him. I don't have a problem with College Game Day. I really don't. But what I do have a problem with, Cass, I know we are a Big Noon Kickoff podcast at the moment, but if you get a chance, ask him why they got to put everything at noon. Put it at 3:30.
I think they do it at noon to keep the tradition and keep.
Oh, I know why, but just put in a word for me because I'm tired of it.
I like the noon kickoffs, to be honest with you, just because. I mean, I get it. Like, some of the games need to be 8 o'clock, but when you're getting the Big Ten traditional games like Ohio State versus Penn State, Ohio State versus Michigan, I get it, but. Wisconsin could have been at 3:30. Honestly, I get that, but I mean, when you're playing the Maryland's and play them at 3:30, even though everybody's still going to have their eye on Ohio State, and I think that's why they do it. And I personally love the Big Noon Kickoff, love the noon kickoffs because it also gives me time, you know, to reflect, and I can watch, you know, the rest of the games for the rest of the day and not have to worry about if I'm too tired to stay up at 8 o'clock. So
that's understandable. One game that was hard to stay awake through the past week was the Rutgers game. And I was given the pleasure to go visit the birthplace of college football in Piscataway, New Jersey. Actually, it's the third time I've ever done that. And it's probably the last because I'm just sick and tired of making the trek and watching an absolute bloodbath. I will give Rutgers credit, though. They stood in there, and I think they scored the most points in a Big Ten game this season with 21 points against us. I was honestly shocked that they scored 21 points. They scored more points against us than Cincinnati, Wisconsin combined.
Well, I look at it this way. They scored 7 points on our first team defense, which was technically not our first team defense because we had 9 starters out.
Chase Young wasn't in either.
Yeah. So technically, like, where people say, oh, Rutgers scored 21 points against this defense. No, they didn't. Stop. We had our second stringers in. Jonathan Cooper didn't play. You know, Toronto Mitchell didn't play. Baron Browning didn't play. There was a list of starters that did not play on that football team. Especially on defense, and we gave them the ball on the 19-yard line after a muff punt. I could have scored in 19 yards. Come on now.
They did block a punt, though. I will give them credit.
Yeah, Drew Christmas had a rough year this year, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, that was just such a weird game, though.
Yeah, it was really weird. It was hard to watch. The Big Ten Network is terrible, and I'm talking terrible, at broadcasting games.
Yeah, the game itself was empty, too. Don't get me wrong, it was pretty fun being with the Rutgers fans, because they were pretty lively. They're a fun crowd, because they know they're not going to win. They're there to, you know, drink some beers with you, have a good time. All they want to see is, you know, their team score a couple of touchdowns. So they were ecstatic. When they got that first touchdown off that, like, well, when they ran it in with that they were just so ecstatic, man. I mean, the stadium was alive. And I was truly happy for Rutgers there. But it was, like I said, it was a weird game. But there were some really solid plays. Ben Victor had 2 touchdowns. KJ Hill had a touchdown. Chris Olave had the most ridiculous catch I've ever seen. I was right there. I got it on camera. And then the play right after that, Luke Farrell catches a beautiful touchdown. And then 2 Buckeyes got their first touchdowns with Jake Hausman and Jalen Gill. So overall, I thought it was a pretty solid day on the offense. Really no complaints there. I mean, and then Justin Fields went off too. And then Dobbins had like 90 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground. So, I mean, if you double that, that's 180 and 2 touchdowns, like Ryan Day was kind of saying during his press – his radio show with 97.1 The Fan. So, like I mean, it was a solid day. I was just kind of shocked that they didn't score more, but it is understandable. Ryan Day made it kind of clear that they took their foot off the gas, which is no surprise because this week we have the real test.
Yeah, definitely the real test is this week against Penn State, and there's a lot of, you know, excuse me, a lot for this game. A lot of things where, you know, I went to a luncheon this week with, you know, with a few former players and stuff like that. Old-time guys played for Earl Bruce and Woody Hayes. And Jeff Logan, former running back for Ohio State, came out and said, this is rivalry team number 2, meaning throwing Illinois out because we hardly play them and they're a joke. And rivalry number 2 is Penn State. And Ohio State sets out goals this year. There's 5 goals Ohio State sets out. And that is, we win the Big Ten East. We win the Big Ten. Well, we beat Michigan, win the Big Ten, and win a playoff game, win the national championship. And we go for the first goal this week against Penn State. And we're going to have Aaron Pearson, who is part of the Big Sports Bulletin network, who does some Penn State coverage for us and some 14 Bullet stuff here on a little bit. He did just text me and said he was ready too, by the way.
Perfect. Can't wait to have my guy on. Yeah, AP's great. He has his Sermon on Mount Nittany podcast. He covers Penn State pretty thoroughly for us too on the website. He's a writer. But I love, gonna be a real good interview with AP. We're gonna, you know, really gonna get the scoop on the Nittany Lions. I mean, I'm going to save, you know, more of this preview for when we have them on. So let's skip to basketball right now. The Buckeyes tomorrow, they are playing Fort Wayne, Indiana Fort Wayne, the Mastodons. Should be a bloodbath as usual. They just took down Stetson on Monday, which was honestly, I got to put this out there, Cass. I had free tickets to the game. They were literally baseline tickets behind the hoop. And I said, nah, not going, because an 8:30 game on a Monday is just ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. And then next Friday I have a 9:30 game against Morgan State. I got free tickets to that game, so I can't wait to attend that. Not much you could say about the Ohio State basketball team on that against Stetson. They dominated in awesome fashion. They're going to dominate tomorrow night in awesome fashion. This team keeps getting better and better. We're going to get Andre Weston back soon. Can't wait for December 4th. And that's going to be a heck of a week, too, because we got North Carolina and then Penn State back-to-back.
Absolutely. And Kyle Young is continuing to play out of his mind. I mean, it just – against Stetson, just dominated the boards, just played phenomenal as usual. I mean, he's drawing 11 Warriors posters. He is drawing comparisons to Joe Kim Noah with his relentless energy. I think that's a little excessive, but I could see him being like the college version of what Joe Kim Noah was in the NBA, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'll take it, because he was phenomenal in college.
Oh, absolutely. And then obviously, like we said, they play Fort Wayne tomorrow. It's just annoying, though, that they make the Monday game at 8:30 and the Friday game at 7. It makes no sense to me. It's just frustrating as a fan. They're doing everything they can, the shot, to, like, really deter fans from going, in my opinion.
maybe so. Maybe so. You're right. You know, some of these late games being on at 8:30 is just ridiculous. So,
I mean, wouldn't it just make sense to have the Friday game at 8:30? Because obviously, like, it's Friday night. It's 8:30. Like, you know, 8:30 at least allows people, and there's gonna be people traveling to Ohio tomorrow for the big game on Saturday. There might be getting there a little later. An 8:30 game will allow people time to get there. You know, they get out of work at 5. Basically, you can get there from anywhere in Ohio in about, you know, 2.5 hours. I don't know what they're doing with the basketball scheduling. It's just, I will say this, though. This is a great team. Probably one of the best Buckeye teams in the past 10 years, it's looking like. And they are, you know, now top 10 along with the football team.
The 2012 team, Final Four team, was really good.
Well,
so.
Yeah, it's one of the best teams. Well, I mean, it's 2019. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. We'll see where this team goes, but they're shaping up to be a team like that. We do need to go support them because I think on Monday night there was only around like 8,000, 9,000 fans that showed up, and we need to do better. I think Buckeye Nation, I will say that, and I'll hold my hand up. I could have done better. I did have free tickets, like I said. But they also need to schedule better. So that's my rant on basketball. They will win tomorrow night. Like we said, they will be 7-0 when they play North Carolina. Mark it down.
Yes, they will. So, but we can't keep Aaron Pearson, AP Aaron Pearson waiting, so we're going to get a hold of him. So that's going to be a great interview.
Absolutely. All right, we now welcome on Aaron Pearson, one of the co-founders of Big Sports Bulletin and a podcaster for the Sermon on Mount Nittany podcast. AP, it is great to have you on Bunch of Nuts again.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me, guys. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, my fellow co-founders. So, yeah, let's get into it. We got a huge game this week, and I can't wait to talk about it with you guys. Let's see what our viewpoints are.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the first most important question everyone's kind of wondering in Columbus is KJ Hamler going to play?
You know, that's a very good question, and, you know, that's – I don't know. The one thing about James Franklin and Penn State, they don't really release much when it comes to players' health. He doesn't really talk about it too much with the media. All that I know is that he is hopeful to have Hamler on Saturday. So take that as what you will, whether that be a positive or negative. It's looking like it'll probably be a game-time decision.
So if Hamler happens to be not playing, who is that? I mean, keep in mind, I've watched, you know, this past week, obviously, as you know who, you know, as you know, you've known me for now, I'm going on for 3 years, and then I watch a lot of game film. And
right.
I've watched Penn State versus Pitt. I've watched Penn State versus Minnesota, Michigan, and last week's game. And to me, outside number 87, by the way, I found out he wears 87 because of Gronk.
Oh, yeah.
He's from Massachusetts, so.
Yeah. But KJ Hamler, yeah, obviously is the best playmaker on the, you know, what I've seen by the eyes. If he doesn't go, who is that guy that's going to, like, who's going to be that guy that could possibly torch the Buckeyes in the secondary, which would be a hard thing to do because they are the number one best defense in the country.
Right, absolutely. You know, you really just pointed him out. 87, Pat Freiermuth, Baby Gronk, people like to call him. He's a sophomore, but he's draft eligible this year, which is kind of weird wrapping your mind around because he spent 1 year at prep school. So he's draft eligible after this year, so keep that in mind, any of you who need a good tight end on your NFL team. No, it's definitely Pat Freiermuth that's going to be the focal point for Penn State. But if you want to talk about players outside of those two, Penn State is really going to be hoping that Jahan Dotson has a solid game out on the outside.
he's really the number two target as far as wide receivers. And yeah, if KJ can't go, that's going to be a big blow to Penn State's offense, because you Buckeye fans know as well as anybody that dude is electric and he can change a game.
Absolutely. I mean, I feel like last year when they knocked him out of the game, that was kind of the turning point, because he was killing the Buckeyes through the kick returns and obviously big plays in the passing game. And
yeah,
obviously he suffered a concussion in that game with that hit by Isaiah Pryor. And he suffered, what, I think like two this season. So obviously head injuries are not to be played, like messed with, but if I had to guess, I think they're gonna do everything in their power to shell him out, like throw him out there, just because this is their Super Bowl. So I'm expecting. They're saying he's a game time decision, but I'd be shocked if he didn't play. I would be, honestly.
Absolutely, I'm right there with you.
Now, are you guys? I know that there's a lot of talk, because we're getting Jonathan Cooper back most likely this week. We're getting Chase Young, obviously, who, if he didn't have already a chip on his shoulder, he's got a bigger one now for being out for 2 weeks.
Right.
Those games that I watched, Pitt had a lot of success, and Minnesota had a lot of success of getting pressure on Clifford. May not have been sacking him, but getting pressure on him just enough to disrupt his passing game, because the passing game was a little off in those games, even though they had some success because they do have KJ Hamler. Is that concerning with your tackles, with the fact that Chase Young is coming back and then possible Jonathan Cooper, and the way the outside linebackers of Ohio State, the way they've been playing?
Yeah, I mean, aside from everybody else, Chase Young is going to be someone I'm worrying about all the time. I mean, it's just who he is. He's just a man on the field amongst boys. It doesn't matter who he's going up against. He's going to get his. So Chase Young absolutely worries me. But this Penn State offensive line, for, what you were just saying, the passing game struggled in some of those games that you watched. And Clifford definitely had pressure on him. But I definitely believe Clifford has forced some of the pressure on himself. I'm not sure if either of you watched the Iowa game, but the first Penn State series, John Clifford literally ran himself into two straight sacks. And we've seen that do him quite a bit this year. And I think if you take – and that has to do with him being young, right? I mean, this is his first year playing major college football. Those things are going to happen. Trace McSorley did the same thing in 2016. It's just he needs to limit that on Saturday. And if he's able to limit his happy feet and him kind of freaking out in the pocket when his first option isn't open, if he's able to do that, I'm a little bit more at ease with the way that the offensive line has been performing this year. Because, yeah, like I said, it hasn't been that bad. There hasn't been that many sacks. But, yeah, it definitely is concerning when you got across the line of scrimmage Jonathan Cooper, Chase Young, and so on and so forth. A lot of talent.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Clifford's going to have a big day in order, for Penn State to obviously, pull off this upset. But one factor that's going to be a problem, I think, is going to be the weather. Because everyone's talking that it's going to be, a real – like a quagmire. It's going to be pouring on Saturday is what I'm seeing in the forecast. So I got to bring this up to you, AP. I saw this on Twitter. Some Penn State fans are getting some flack for this, but this comes on a Penn State message board. This is what this guy's saying. He says, the rain will slow down the game big time. Both teams will be forced to abandon the passing game and stick to a ground attack, which bodes well for PSU and its tremendous running back depth. Far superior to OSU's one-trick pony, J.K. Dobbins. Brown, Cade, Ford, good Lord. What a packed lineup with NFL potential. OSU's lack of depth at running back will cost them big time in this game. End of story. Game, set, match. Penn State, 27-24.
Wow. For the way that paragraph went, I did not expect a 3-point win for Penn State right there. The way that guy was talking, you expect him to predict a blowout. Obviously, he's not right. I mean, J.K. Dobbins is an absolute beast. I mean, he's gone nearly over 1,000 yards or over 1,000 yards the last 2 years when he was sharing the backfield. He's already over 1,200. I mean, you can't really call him a one-trick pony. He pretty much does it all, and does it all very well.
And there's one guy that they're missing who's also in the top five in rushing in the Big Ten, and that's Master Teague.
Yeah, Master Teague has been very quiet this year as far as the hype that he's been getting. No one's really talking about him that much, but like you said, he's doing a really good job with the time that he's given. And definitely expect to see him a little bit on Saturday. You just hope that, well, not you, but I hope, and all Penn State fans everywhere hope that the defense from the first 5 or 6 weeks shows up and not the defense from the past 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That goes to my next question. Ohio State has elite wide receivers, maybe not LSU and Alabama and Clemson type elite wide receivers, but they have elite wide receivers in Chris Olave, Ben Victor, KJ Hill. We all know they've been there since Vietnam. You know that.
Yeah.
Minnesota, Iowa, Minnesota, Indiana had so much success in the middle of the game. What's going on with the safeties? What can you explain to us about why there's so much leverage and how much and why wide receivers are going over the top against the Penn State secondary?
You know, that's a good question, man. It's kind of inexcusable. I don't really have a reason for why that's happening or a good excuse for them. The only thing that I could I said this on Twitter at the beginning of the week, after the Indiana game last week. The only thing that's keeping me from freaking out about this game on Saturday, because I truly think, you know, Penn State's been playing Ohio State well the past few years, but I think this could get out of hand. The only thing that's keeping me from being super scared about Saturday is the idea that Penn State has kind of been looking ahead to Ohio State ever since they beat Michigan State, because those have been the humps the past few years. Obviously, you lost to Ohio State, but then right after, you lose to Michigan State. So I feel like once they got out of that three-game stretch of Iowa, Michigan, and Michigan State, they came out with their mind focused on coming here to Columbus. Now, you know, obviously James Franklin has that 1-0 mentality thing that he always goes with and whatever. But these are still 18, 19, 20-year-old guys. They're going to look ahead sometimes. And I think that's kind of what you've seen with this Penn State secondary because, yeah, it's been inexcusable. They were playing amazing at the beginning of the year, and then the past 2 weeks they've looked really bad.
And don't get me wrong, Minnesota has elite wide receiver.
Definitely do.
And but they do. There's a lot over the middle. And if I'm Ryan Day, honestly, if I'm Ryan Day, in the coaching staff, I'm licking my chops at that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But knowing who James Franklin is and Penn State, they'll get that fixed. Obviously, the weather could be a factor. And we could see another slobber knocker of a game like we've had in the past, you know, 3 years. And, you know, what this rivalry is turning into. I don't care what, you know, I call it a rivalry. You call it a rivalry. Yeah. I don't care what anyone else. This is a rivalry to me anyways. And, you know, every team sets out a goal. And, is, you know, like I said earlier in the podcast, I said Ohio State, this is goal number one for them. And Penn State's one of those teams that say, hey, you know, we want to get to a Big Ten championship, Big Ten East championship too. So basically, goal number one for both teams on the year is Big Ten East championship and right in front of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm right there with you. I just said last night on Sermon on Mount Nittany, you know, obviously, if Penn State loses this game, it's not the end of all ends. You know, Penn State will still be more than likely 10-2 at the end of the year. And I mean, in a year where everybody predicted 3-4 losses, that's pretty good. But I think Penn State is at the point now where myself and other fans kind of expect to be, I wouldn't say at Ohio State's top level, but right there. I mean, basically right where they are at right now. We expect to be there every year, but we also expect to be in national championship contention and so on and so forth. So when you see, you know, the lackadaisical game against Indiana and the loss against Minnesota, people are going to act out, and you saw that with Sean Clifford receiving death threats.
I wouldn't say it was a lackadaisical game against Indiana. I'm a big defender of Indiana on this podcast. Yeah. I think they're a good program this year. They're really if you replace Indiana with if you say Indiana's Iowa instead, or let's say Wisconsin or even Michigan, they're going to be a top 16, 15 team.
Oh yeah. And I mean, just throw an SEC school's name in front of that record and they're ranked.
If you said that was South Carolina, they'd be top 12, 100%.
Absolutely.
Indiana is very underrated, so I'll give you guys credit. I honestly, Penn State, that was a trap game, and they obviously rose to the occasion.
Yeah, it was definitely a trap game, and that drive at the end was definitely gave you courage heading into this weekend. A drive like that to seal the game gives you all the confidence in the world, really, if you're on the team. But the point that I was alluding to, you know, this Ohio State game every year, and just like you said, Cass, this game is huge every year. I mean, this like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, Dan, this is kind of Penn State's Super Bowl, but it's not at the same time. Meaning, at the end of the season, I'm waiting all year for the Ohio State game because I know that's the game that's going to decide how good Penn State really is.
And if you can brag against Cass all year.
Exactly, yeah. So, like, last year in September when you guys came back and won at Beaver Stadium, and right after that, right as soon as that game ended, I was like, okay, yeah, the rest of the season can be cool, but I'm looking forward to next year already. Because it just means that much to me. And it's, you know, obviously it has to deal with, you know, me being a Penn State fan living here in Columbus. But it just means a lot.
The one thing I think Penn State really kind of has going for them is the fact that this team isn't coached by Urban Meyer. And I'm not saying that Ryan Day isn't a better coach. What I'm saying is Urban Meyer's teams, when they got hit with adversity, you knew they were coming out in the second half. They were going to go in at halftime, make the adjustments, batten down the hatches, like come out for war, balls to the wall. Ryan Day has been so efficient with this program that we haven't seen them really in a position where they've been down. Like,
right.
Even the Wisconsin game, I mean, there was really no point where there was adversity against Wisconsin other than just dealing with the weather. So it should be interesting to see if this is a close game, because I think this could honestly flip in the favor of James Franklin, because he's been really trying to get them over the hump. And it pains me to say this, but I think if it's a 3-point ball game, I think Penn State might have a shot to win that. I think they might be better suited to win that, because Franklin's, I've seen him in positions like that before. I haven't seen Ryan Day in a position like that. So I don't know what to expect from this team, how they're going to react.
And what helps with Ryan Day is he got to coach under Urban Meyer for 3 years. So, you know, he got to see the adversity of coming down, you know, being down 15 twice and coming back and winning. He got to see us get hit with the block punt in the Happy Valley, which, in my opinion, saved James Franklin's job.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
So he's seen that as an assistant, but he hasn't seen that as a head coach. So that's a good question. You know, that's a good thing. You know, could be a good or a bad thing moving on to this season, whether if we have adversity this Saturday against you guys or not.
or maybe next week against that team up north, or whoever we play in the Big Ten Championship, if we get to the playoff, if we, you know, possibly play Clemson. I'm anxious to see that, to see how he reacts, but I think he'd be just fine. But yeah, you're right. I have to agree with you, James. If we get in a situation and Penn State's maybe leading by three or even down by three, James Franklin has a little bit of the edge just because he's been in that situation before.
It's a law of averages too. Like, it's like, how many times can Ohio State pull off like a 1-point victory?
Right. Yeah, and that's the thing that's kind of scary too, because obviously, like you guys mentioned, Ryan Day hasn't faced adversity yet. And the thing that's scary about that is, how many games this year have we gone into thinking, all right, this is when Buckeyes are going to have to fight a little bit. Nebraska. Obviously Wisconsin. You know, before the season even started, people thought that Cincinnati was going to be a really tough game for you guys. And that, obviously, that wasn't at all. So it's the scary thing at Michigan State as well. It's scary to think every game that people have thought that you're going to face adversity, you guys just blew them out of the water.
Well, believe it or not, I think the Michigan State game was the one where we actually faced the most adversity.
Yeah, we were 10-7 in that.
Yep. Yeah, that
actually Miami. Believe it or not, Miami, Ohio. No, I'm wrong on that, because I just listened to Jeff Logan just said this the other day. Miami, Ohio was the only team that we have trailed against this year.
Yeah. Yep. That's very true.
And they lead the MAC East.
It's going to be very interesting to see how it works out on Saturday as far as adversity and all that. Because, yeah, like you said, James Franklin has been there. I mean, shoot, they almost came back and won against Minnesota a couple weeks ago. And I'm not sure you guys watched the whole game, but I definitely did. Throughout the entire game, I was just like, man, this is bad. Like, Penn State's going to, like, getting killed. And then with a minute and a half to go, I'm, like, sitting on the edge of my seat, like, holy crap. You know, we have a chance to win right now.
I was taking a nap during that because we were up, like, 70-something to 7 against Maryland. So I was napping and then get the alert on my phone. Hey, close game against Maryland and Penn State and Minnesota. So that's when we switched over. But now that we, you know, this week's happening, I'm sure you think Penn State's going to win, and you know we think Ohio State's going to win. Let's switch gears a little bit here, and before we let you go, the rumors going around that are swirling around, maybe not in Penn State, but other college football world, that Franklin could jump ship and go either Florida State or USC. What are your thoughts on that possibly happening?
Yeah, that it's funny that you brought that up, because I wholeheartedly believe that's not going to happen. And the only reason why I believe that is because, first, Florida State seems like they're going in a different direction. I've heard that, you know, they're really liking Deion Sanders for the job, possibly. USC is an interesting one. And obviously, it'd be hard to turn that down if you're any coach or any guy. I mean, going out to Southern California to coach football in warm weather by the beach, that sounds awesome. But James Franklin is the family man. He's from Pennsylvania. He grew up there, went to college there, not at Penn State, but
East Stroudsburg University he went to.
Yeah. You know, he's from the area. He claims he grew up a fan. I'm not sure if that's true or not. But either way, with two young girls at, you know, middle school and elementary school age, it's hard for me to imagine him uprooting his family and moving to extremely popular Southern California. You know what I mean? From a family perspective, I'm not sure if I can see that happen.
That's a good take, you know. It's still up in the air. I tend to agree with you. But if that does happen, I've heard a lot of rumors that I think it's Rule from Baylor could be the lead candidate. But I don't see James Franklin going anywhere time soon, because I honestly, I think Penn State needs him. I think he needs Penn State. Because if he goes to USC, USC is a place where he could last 3 years. The way the Pac-12 is up and down, and if you don't win out there, you're canned. And I think Penn State's a perfect situation for him because he's right there. Like, he's close. He is right there. And I don't see him going anywhere.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the thing with I think the reason why USC has really been rumored to go after him, not even from, you know, people necessarily hearing things as far as, you know, he's definitely our top candidate, but it's just from a fit perspective as far as who he is and what USC needs. And if you look at the 2020 recruiting rankings for the state of California, California does not have one, or I'm sorry, USC does not have a single player in the top 10 of California committed to their program. You have to go all the way down to number 13 of the class of 2020 rankings to find the first USC commit. And if you go back to 2005, 2006, 2007, when Pete Carroll was there, and, you know, they were in their heyday, you look at the California class, and most of the guys are not only going to USC, but they're staying on the West Coast as well. Now, you know, the top three players in the state of California are going to Clemson, Alabama, and Georgia. And, you know, just from James Franklin being the great recruiter that he is, I think USC desperately needs him, and they're going to try to clean out the bank to bring him, which money talks. You know, I just talked about all how he's a family man and all that stuff,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they could try to break the bank for him.
Yeah, I mean, uprooting your kids is a lot like – it's not as bad if you're securing their financial future for the rest of their lives, you know, so
right.
At least that's justifiable. My question to you, AP, is let's say you guys pull off, you know, you pull off the upset. You guys obviously will probably jump into the top four of the playoff and probably, you know, as long as you beat the Minnesota or Wisconsin, whoever plays in the Big Ten championship, you'll probably make the playoff. Could you see any scenario that Ohio State would make the playoff with a loss to Penn State, or is this a must-win game, in your opinion?
I truly think this is where you can definitely argue SEC bias if you want to. I'm not one of those guys that truly believe in SEC bias like that. I definitely think there is a little favoritism, but I think if Ohio State were to lose a close game to Penn State, Ohio State, it would all come down to the Michigan game. How do you look in the Michigan game? Because it's no secret, a lot of people are starting to love Michigan again as far as the way that they've looked starting in the second half of the Penn State game.
Mm-hmm.
They've been playing on fire the past few weeks. I actually saw yesterday, I think, Michigan opened up as the favorites in the Ohio State game.
No, that was a line from August. That was a line from August.
Okay.
The Michigan -3 line, that was from August. Don't believe that. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's exactly what I saw too. So thank you for correcting me on that. But anyway, it all comes down to how they beat Michigan. Because if they destroy Michigan and have that close loss to Penn State, everyone in the country has been saying over and over and over again, Ohio State has looked dominant. They've looked like one of the best teams in the country. I know the playoff committee hasn't been there with you guys consistently on that because LSU is doing their thing. But Ohio State has looked like the most consistent, most dominant team in the country all season with the best player in college football, Chase Young, and one of the best quarterbacks in Justin Fields.
I might get who should draft.
yeah, they definitely should. Which guy?
Chase Young.
Oh, yeah.
I'm lobbying.
They should try to tank for Justin Fields the next year, too.
No. I'm saying draft Chase Young and draft Jalen Hurts in the second round.
There you go. I like that.
That's a nice little combo. I like that.
Yeah. I definitely think that Ohio State can make the playoff with a loss to Penn State. Just all depends on Michigan.
Wow. And then, all right, before you go, we got to get your prediction. The spread, I think, right now is plus 18.5 for Penn State, which is, I think that's an insult. I think that is ridiculous.
Yeah, that line stinks. I don't even think the line in 2016 was that high. I think it was right around the same. And that was Penn State team just coming off sanctions, you know. Mm-hmm. They weren't even ranked then. And now you're top 10 in the country, and it's still like that.
As a betting man, I might throw you know, a little 50-burger Penn State money line as insurance. Just that line, money line, if you're a Penn State fan, you might as well take a money line because it's an amazing payout.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But prediction, AP, who you got?
You know, you mentioned earlier you guys know that I'm going to Penn State. But actually, I'm not.
What?
Yeah, I don't get me wrong. I love this team to death. You guys know that more than pretty much anybody. I love this team to death. I have the utmost confidence in them. But,
folks, let me tell you – and go by his word on how much he loves this team.
He does.
My rehearsal dinner. AP is one of my best friends. And, you know, he was in my wedding. He was a groomsman in my wedding. He wore a Saquon Barkley jersey at a rehearsal dinner. That's how much he loves this team. And that was a week after we beat them in Happy Valley last year. So that's how much he loves this team.
Yep. Yeah, so, yeah, take it from Cass. I'm a diehard, for sure, like, to the definition. And for me to choose Ohio State over Penn State, that definitely means something. And this Ohio State team can run away with the national championship. I think they've looked that good. It's hard for me to say, but I think Ohio State ends up winning by 10.
Wow.
Don't have a score prediction for you. It's going to be close to the end. They've all been close under James Franklin. Even 2015, when you guys won 38-14 or something like that, that was a close game in the fourth quarter. I mean, I know you guys are going to have to go back and watch it if you want, but...
That was actually my prediction, because this game reminds me of that 2015 season, and at the end of ours we give a game score prediction, but that's my score prediction was 38-14 because we get a couple late touchdowns, kind of like the 2015 game.
Yep, exactly. That game was close until 10 minutes to go, and then Ohio State ended up doing what they did.
But
I think James Franklin's able to keep it close, and Ohio State takes it away.
But there will not be a 200-yard rusher in that game by Penn State. Just keep in mind, like that, because Barkley went off.
Yeah. I think that was the moment right there that everyone was like, okay, this kid is special.
Wow. Okay. I mean, I feel like, honestly, I predicted it last year. I think I'm gonna take Penn State.
Wow.
Pulling the upset. I hate to say it. I can't put my tongue on it. I've had a few bad omens this week. I don't know. It reminds me of the 2015 Michigan State game, kind of leading up to it. Game day's coming. Second to last game before the regular season ends. Big Ten East is on the line. Bad weather. It's just, I got a bad feeling on this one, and I don't know. And I don't like that line that Vegas is giving. I think that line is straight collusion because they're almost baiting you to taking. They want you to bet on Ohio State. They want you to think Ohio State's much better. I think somehow Penn State pulls off the improbable. I don't know how. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know who's going to be the star, but something's going to happen, and I'll say it.
Yeah, you guys talk about bulletin board material. I know Ohio State has used a lot of bulletin board material over the years. Penn State has quite a few rounds in the chamber for this week. Going back to after last week's game,
I guarantee you, the Penn State defense remembers J.K. Dobbins' comments about, you know, why does it have to be a four quarter game? I saw a lot of Penn State players took notice of that, and they didn't like that. And then you got that 18-point spread. They're not going to come in too happy.
And I don't think the fact that we haven't played a real football game in the past 3 weeks helps. Because we had the bye week, Maryland, and then Rutgers. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But I got a bad feeling on this one.
I hope you're right.
I hope I'm wrong.
Oh, buddy, it's always a pleasure talking to you. See you tomorrow night. Big game in Central Ohio tomorrow night. Grove-Fort Madison goes for round number two against Pickerington Central. Myself, AP will be there. My dad and my brother. Can't wait for that game.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, excited to see you tomorrow. And have a good rest of the show, guys. Have a good night.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on, man. All right, we are back now. That was a great interview with AP. Check out his podcast, Sermon on Mount Nittany, if you like Penn State athletics. But Cass, we got to, you know, kind of wrap up the show here. We got to go with my favorite segment of the week, Quick Picks. So we're going to run through the NCAA football. We're going to run through the NCAA football schedule right here. And on this week of Quick Picks, we completely forgot it is my least favorite week of the year, SEC Bitch Week. So let's run through these games, man. We got Western Carolina versus Alabama. Who you got?
Bama.
You sure?
Yeah, it'd be kind of interesting to see how the quarterback is working and how it works. And hopefully Tua gets better, which thoughts and prayers go out to Tua Tagovailoa. By the way, Notre Dame just got upset in basketball by Toledo.
Holy Toledo, literally.
52. So kudos to them. Georgia Tech's beating NC State right now. That's the Thursday night game. Come on, get better than that. But, yeah, I got Bama big. 57, but do they cover? I'm going to go no. 57-point favorite.
No, sir, they don't cover. We also got Samford versus Auburn. Another barn burner, Cass.
Auburn, obviously. I think they cover.
Yeah. Those are no-brainers. Then we got... Oh, I'm pulling loss of schedule right here.
Here's an interesting one right here. Boston College at Notre Dame.
Mm. What's Boston College's record right now?
5-5.
Oh, it's so tough. That's so tough. This can go either way, man, because Boston College, they're like the most average team in college football. They will always be at 500 no matter what. So if they're already at 500, flip a coin, literally.
I'm going Notre Dame.
I'm going Boston College.
Yeah.
Flip a coin, literally. We got... Let's see who else we got. Other big games other than the Penn State one.
How about this? Two SEC teams who aren't playing high school football teams. Georgia is hosting Texas A&M.
Give me A&M. Jimbo Fisher is going to pull off an upset. This is the one week we're going to be like, oh, that's why they're ranked.
Yeah, I'm going with A&M also.
I think A&M will pull off the upset here. I would not be shocked. I think Georgia stinks. They're overrated. A&M, I think, can get it done. I mean, they've seen Clemson this year. They've seen Bama. They're going to handle Georgia pretty easily.
If South Carolina can do it, then they can do it.
Absolutely. We got Michigan, Indiana.
Watch out, Wolverines.
I want to pick Indiana so hard here.
So do I, but watch out, Michigan. Watch out. Speaking of Michigan, did you know that you can grow... Don't expect... When you grow potatoes, don't expect potato salad tomorrow.
What?
Yeah, Jim Harbaugh said that in his post-game conference. They talked about how that since the second half of the Penn State game, they've looked pretty unstoppable, blah, 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 blah. But he said, if you grow potatoes, don't expect a potato salad the next day.
That literally makes no sense. You can't grow potato – like I mean, you can grow potato salad, but that man remains an enigma.
Yeah. I still got the Wolverines, but watch out.
Yeah, watch out.
Trap game. This has trap game all over for the Wolverines.
I have a trap game right here.
Oh, boy.
Oregon versus Arizona State.
With ESPN here, that is your game of that's your primetime game of the week.
That's a decent game.
5-5 Arizona hosting Oregon. Give me the Ducks all the way. I'd rather see the primetime game be Temple at Cincinnati.
Or TCU Oklahoma, but no, I think Fox has that.
Yeah, Fox has that.
Fox has that. I mean, they're not going to put Arkansas versus LSU. Could you imagine if Arkansas pulled off the upset?
42.5-point favorite for LSU. Arkansas is about as equivalent as Rutgers. This week is terrible.
Arkansas is Rutgers if New Jersey was in the South and everyone was a meth head.
How about this? The Scrubbin' Bubbles, Toilet Bowl, Cleaner Bowl, Arkansas, and Rutgers. Get them in there right now.
No one would go. No one. That'd be so bad.
I mean, Rutgers and Arkansas fans would go.
About five.
Yeah, that's the only games that are good tonight. TCU Oklahoma's kind of sneaky just because Oklahoma's coming off that high with a big win last week. Boise State, Utah, one at 10:30, even though I'll probably be zonked out from a long day. Looks pretty interesting, but that's about it. How about SMU at Navy?
That's actually a sneaky good one. I got Navy, though. I mean, Navy's a house. Navy's a wagon. Navy, I mean, I believe they lost to Notre Dame. Did they not?
Yeah, they lost to Notre Dame.
What was the score to that? I honestly had no idea that even played. Like, I knew they played, but I didn't even see the score to that. Oh, 52-20. Oof. Oof. Yeah. Give me SMU then.
Yeah. Those are the pick-ems this week. It's kind of boring this week, so.
File all complaints with the SEC. It is on them this week.
Just remember, you can't grow. When you grow potatoes, you can't expect potato salad the next day.
Absolutely. Now moving on, Cass. You had the pleasure of seeing an Ohio State recruit in action.
Yeah, I had the pleasure to see 10 Division I scholarship athletes. Jalen Johnson's a highly recruited out of Cincinnati LaSalle. He's got letters from Michigan. He's got offers from Michigan, Oklahoma, Michigan State, Ohio State. Get him in Columbus. Pretty good. Ryan Day, please. He's pretty good. He's good. He's a nice safety. But I got to see Jacob Seibert, number one kicker in the country. And boy, he can kick the ball. He can kick the. He's a great ball placement kicker.
Great ball placement.
Yeah. Which Blake Hybeal does not have. Which Blake Hybeal's been fantastic, but this year he's struggled early on, but he's really gotten it going. But his PA, they won 35-7, so he kicked PATs. Every PAT went. They had to go track the ball down because they don't have a net at some of these high school stadiums. He kicked the ball over four buses. Dude's got a leg. Looks really nice. That's why he's the number one kicker in the country.
I'm excited to have this guy on campus. That's going to be a huge asset to the Buckeyes. I mean, you don't really appreciate a kicker until you don't have one. That's the old saying. And obviously, Blake Hallbeal's on a hot streak right now, and I'm all on the Blake train, but having Seibert here next year is going to be, you know, a great asset to this team.
Yes. So moving on from that, other campus news.
Yeah,
we could celebrate and bring and lobby for somebody, because you went to Ohio State, you break the news.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a proud day for Buckeye Nation. President Michael V. Drake, the worst sports fan in the history of Ohio State presidents. And what I mean worst sports fan, I saw him leave a ranked Ohio State basketball game before halftime, and the Buckeyes were winning. He left the game and did not come back. They were playing Maryland. Maryland was ranked top 10 or something. He left the game. So regardless of the whole Urban Meyer thing, I've never been on. Yeah, I've never been on the Michael Drake. I had not been a fan of this guy from day one. And honestly, it's great that he's gone. We're gonna get someone in here who knows how to run a university. Yeah, Jim Tressel. Or Urban, get Urban. Or Gene Smith. What if we promote Gene Smith, promote Urban to athletic director? Boom.
I'd take Trest all day, every day.
The question is, would the university want him back after everything?
Oh, yeah. I think 100%. 100%. I think they would. And they take either him or Urban Meyer. I think you go for Tress. He's done a great job with Youngstown State. But all I have to say is, if I do happen to run into President Drake this weekend, I'll make sure I'm off the clock. But I'm going to be like, na 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 na, na 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 na, hey, 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 goodbye.
What if I was a student
at Ohio State getting ready to graduate, he's giving the commencement speech, I would start that chant at graduation.
Absolutely. And I saw his tweet, and I really agreed with it. I actually liked it with the Bunch of Nuts account, but it says, yes, Michael Drake is retiring. Time to interview Jim Tressel for the impending job opening. We need someone who gets Ohio in charge of our university, not someone worried about how he looks in California academia circles. Like, it's so true. We need an Ohio man, whether it be Urban, whether it be Tressel, whether it be Gene Smith, whether it be John Dorsey or LeBron, just not Michael Drake.
Yeah, I'd lobby for Tress all day.
I would take Tress, absolutely. I mean, I'm on the Tress train. I trust the Board of Trustees will make a smart decision. I think they've kind of learned. What about Gordon Gee? Bring back Gordon Gee.
What about Clark Kellogg?
Oh, I like that. Mr. Kellogg as president? I could get behind that.
Mm-hmm.
Just always playing like the CBS basketball theme behind him every time he gives a speech. Hello, class. Hello, class. There will be no school today due to snow. And then you got the CBS theme going on in the background.
The psychology 112 class, they're on the bubble right now, but if they can get something going, mm-hmm. they might get a shot into the NCAA tournament.
Oh, man. We're looking at Johnny's class schedule right here. It has a real low strength of class schedule. You know, he's taking psychology 101 and also mixing that with a history of rock and roll. You know, it's a pretty weak class schedule. You should have a 4.0, but looks like he has a 3.2, so he's not going to get into the big dance this year, unfortunately.
Yeah, he had a couple bad quizzes where he failed. He must have been hungover for something from after the Michigan game, but yeah, he's not going to make the cut. It's 3.2.
Yeah, he's going to have to go with the NIT on this one. Back to you, Jim. Jim Nance is his assistant.
Jim Nance. Or no, it's Greg Gumbel.
Oh, yeah, Greg. Just, wow. I think we found our guy, Clark Kellogg. What a great pick.
Yeah. So that's the way
we could solve this. We put the four. We'll just come up with random candidates, put them in a tournament, and have everybody vote for them like an NCAA tournament. Get to the Final Four, and that's how we solve it. And the Final Four would probably be Urban, Gene. No, the Final Four would probably be Urban, RG.
Archie would be a great pick. Archie does a lot of stuff with the business school too. Low key, Archie would be a really good pick if he wanted it. I don't know if he would be up for it, but
put that on Twitter. Put those four guys we named: Tress, Kellogg, Archie, and Urban, and see what the fans say.
I love it. I'm gonna post that tomorrow morning. But as we wrap up here, Cass, our final segment: keys of the game.
Weather the storm. Do not turn the ball over. You obviously have the more depth. Just control the game. Control Micah Parsons on defense. When you're on offense, and then when you're on defense, don't give up the big play to KJ Hamler. I think we're going to be perfectly fine on defense. Offensively, just play your game. Play Buckeye football. Offensive line, have your best game. But as what I just said, the number one key is weather the storm, and that underneath that is what I just said is the key to the weather of the storm.
Yeah, my keys, I like those keys too. Weather the storm, figuratively and literally, because it's going to be pouring. My keys are, one, Justin Fields. It's Justin Fields' game. Everything I've kind of been preaching the past 2 weeks, kind of take it easy on him, don't run him. Ignore that this game. Everything is on the table this game. If he has to carry the ball 30 times, this is the game. This is the game where we got to do this. Number two, and my final key of the game, release the Predator.
Yes. He's going to shine.
Absolutely. Release the Predator.
So, great to have AP on this week. I'm getting ready to hit 26 to 30 hours in 2 days working with Fox. Get to have a blast doing that. You're going to stay warm, watch the game. Hopefully your prediction wrong.
Hopefully it is. And I will be I completely forgot. I will be at the OSU basketball game tomorrow. So make sure, everyone check the Twitter account for live content from there.
Yes. And, if I'm on the field during the game, I will do my best to get some content, maybe during pregame or during the game, maybe get some crowd reaction if I'm on the field. Look for that. Look for some big, I will be sending this content to Dan so he can post it up on the page. I will, during the pregame, I will have a lot of fun with this and get content of the crowd. I can't get content of the big new kickoff guys because the crowd. So check that on Twitter on Saturday, Legal Rights, but I will get content of pre-morning.
Absolutely. It's going to be a weekend for the ages, folks. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Bunch of Nuts podcast, and go Bucks and let's get nutty.